Beruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying tonight Parashat Vayira. The topic that I chose to speak about after great personal struggle, I had to pull myself away from the Akedat Yitzhak, which, as the members of this class know, how gravitated I generally am to speak about the Akedah. I think we gave about 30 shiurim on Akedah. However, this year I chose to speak about something else that caught my attention, and only because I didn't feel that the Torah should give it so much attention, and that's why it caught my attention. And that is the story of the destruction of Sedom. The Torah goes in great detail, telling us about how the angels went to Sedom, and how they got into Lot's house, and then the mob came, and then the whole way that they smuggled out Lot and his family, and how Sedom Va'amura goes up in fire. And I'm asking myself, what is the Torah going out of its way to tell me so much details about this story? Now, I'm not telling you it's not a nice story and that we shouldn't know about it, but put it in the Midrash somewhere. Torah is not a storybook. Some of the greatest stories about our forefathers, the Torah doesn't tell us. There's no mention that Abraham was thrown into a fire by Nimrod. That we're not told. That you have to go to Pekidr Bili Ezer and go find it in some obscure Midrash until you figure out what happened. But the story of Sedom and Lot, there the Torah has all the ink in the world and all the time in the world and tells it to me in the most elaborate way. And I'm thinking to myself, what is so significant about this episode? Now, before we get into the details of the Pesukim, I want to tell you something that I heard over from the Rukach of a rabbi, the Safnat Ba'anayah. But you need to have one introduction just to understand this approach, and it's a very important approach. Most people, when they learn Sefer Bereshit, they learn it as a storybook, you know, stories of the Avot. There's a fancy word, a narrative. It's a narrative. You know? It's nice stories. But you must know that the Avot and all of the Torah in Bereshit has to be viewed as well in the prism of Halakha. Everything that the Avot did, they followed Halakha. You know, don't think halakha begins at Matan Torah. That's when the Jews started following law. Avotenu HaKedoshim followed the law before the law was given. So whenever you read an episode, you have to try to plug in, how does this fit into halakha? I'll give you one example that the Safnat Paneah says. In Sedom Ve'amorah, we read about what happened to those two cities. The Pasuk says, and I'm reading in chapter 19, Pasuk 23, or 24. Vadonai himtir al Sedom bal Amora gofrit va'esh. So it was a punishment of sulfur and fire. Me'et Hashem min ha-shamayim. Means the whole city was burnt. Says the Rukachev. Where do we see in Torah that the punishment of a city is to be burnt? He says, we have a case. And that's the law of the Irani Dahat. When you have a city that the majority of its inhabitants worship Avodah Zarah, so the law is that the city must be burnt completely. And therefore he says, Sedom Ba'amora must have had a status of Irani Dahat. Therefore, it meets out the Torah's punishment. Only question is, do you have a proof to that? Where do you see anywhere in Torah literature that Sedom Ba'amorah was an Irani Dahat? So the Rukach Ava finds a proof. He finds three proofs. I'd like to tell you the three proofs. One, if you remember when Lot wants to escape. So the Pasuk says that Lot says, listen, Hinena ha'ira zot kerova. There's a city that's close to the to Sedom, Lanus Shama, Vehim Mitzah. It's a small little city. Imaletana Shama. Let me run over there to this small city, this village called Mitzar. Utchei nafshi, says the Safnat Paneya. Why was Lot so convinced that he'll get saved in Mitzar? He says, because the Gemara Sanhedrin says that for an Irani Dahat to be punished, you have to have at least 100 inhabitants in the city. And Mitzar was called Mitzar because it's a small village. So when you went into the city limits of Mitzar, there's a big sign, welcome to Mitzar, population 83. Perfect. So Lord says, I bring my family there, so we move up to 90. So as long as nobody has 10 children tomorrow, we'll be fine. So therefore, you see, it's working with the dinim of Ir Mikla. Furthermore, he says, Ir Anidahat. I said, Ir Mikla, Ir Anidahat. Ir Anidahat. Furthermore, he quotes Maimonides. Harambam, I have a copy of it, in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, in the fourth chapter, the sixth halakha. Harambam says that in the Ir Anidahat, before the punishment is met out, they send two rabbis to the city in order to try to talk them out of it. They send two hachamim. Says the Rakat Shavah, then where did they send the two hachamim over to Sedom Amora? So if you look at the beginning of the parasha, how does it start? The pasuk comes along and says, Vayavo'u shnei ha-malachim Sedoma. God dispatched the two malachim to go to Sedom. Now clearly those were not the ones that destroyed Sedom. Ela, they came as the two hachamim to try to bring them back. The last proof that he brings that it's an Irani Dahat is the one that I came to talk about tonight. There's a Tosefta in Sanhedrin, in Perek Yud Dalet. The first Tosefta there. Tosefta is like rabbinical literature. And the Tosefta says something unbelievable. Halakha, regarding Irani Dahat, that even if somebody is a Sadiq, and they're not going to burn him with the Irani Dahat, however, he can't take his money with him. The money's got to stay behind. That the tzaddik saves himself, but his assets get burnt. So the Tosefta says, where do you see that? Where do you see that if somebody gets saved from an Irani Dahat, he can't take his money? Tosefta brings it a ayah from our story. What does it say when the angels told Lot to leave? Himalet al nafshecha. Run for your life, but leave the money. So the Tosefta says, you see from over here that what? That Irani Dahat, even those that get saved, can't take the money. So that's the proofs. Now, the Midrash goes on a little further. The Midrash says, or Tosefta says, I'll just quote it to you, it's a very good Musar. The Tosefta says, why can't he take his money? What did the money do? So he says, because the tzaddik, why is he living in Irani Dahat? Why should this tzaddik, what brought the tzaddik to live in such a corrupt place? You know what brought him there? The money. Must be he has a business there. Must be he's making money. So the Torah says, because of your money, you decided to live in Irani Dahat. The money is not, you're not taking the money with you. And then the Tosefta makes a kabahomer. And what? Money that's inanimate, that cannot communicate, that doesn't talk, that cannot influence. And still the Torah says, since that brought you to a bad place, you cannot benefit from it. Imagine if a person negatively influences his friend and brings him to the wrong place. Imagine how bad that is. Therefore, the money has to stay. Beautiful. My point is, I showed you from this Rakat Shavah that you see that the Torah here in Sedom is working with the laws of Irani Dahat. Beautiful. Based on this, I wrote a Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar is dealing with a question that I had, everybody has. But based on what we just said, we have an unbelievable answer. The Pasuk says that when they're leaving, Lot gets instructions. Remember the instructions? One instruction. Al tabit acharecha. Don't turn around. Lot was not able to turn around, and the Hachamim tells us, because he wasn't getting saved on his own merit. He was getting saved in the merit of others. And therefore, he has no right to see the destruction of the people. So the angels say, head forward. Don't look back. Fine. What does the Pasuk say later on? Well, the way we learned it when we were young, we imagined them on like a magic carpet flying out of the city, like Rabbi Abu Hasira. So you have the angels, and you have Lot, and you have his wife, and they're flying out of the city. And what does the Pasuk say in Chavav? Vatabet ishto me'aharav. His wife couldn't control herself. She turned around. And what happened? Vatehi nitziv me'elach. She turns into a salt shaker. Which means Lot's wife, she turned around. So the Kli Akan makes an unbelievable diuk. He says, wait. Vatabet ishto me'aharav. It should say vatabet ishto me'ahareha. She turned back from herself. She's female. Why does it say "Vatabet ishto me'aharav"? That she turned away, or she turned from him, me'aharav, not from him, from her. The me'aharav is the wrong gender here. That's the question. Otpa, "Vatabet ishto me'ahareha," from herself. What's a me'aharav? This is what happened there. I quote, "Lefi shelot ve'ishto hayu mitzta'arim al shelo hetzilu gam et kol mamonam." You know who was bothering Lord and his wife on the way out of Sodom? Haval, all the money we have to leave over here. You know, they were well established. Lot became the mayor of the city. That means he had time to work in government. Must have been he had parnasah. Therefore, now they're leaving, so they want to collect their stuff. He says, no. You don't know how that goes. You get any dad. You got to keep your stuff behind. So they were agonizing over it. But who was agonizing more? Says the Kli Yakar. Lefi she'achshav nitzta'ara al ibud mamona. She said to us, wait. I was married to a rich guy. Lot had a lot of money. What's going to be now? We're going to get saved out of this place, and my husband doesn't have a red penny. We're going to be penniless. We're going to be poverty stricken. And she started to say, "What? How am I going to live?" And therefore, the pasuk says, "Vatabet ishto me'aharav." She looked. What's going to be after Lot? What's going to be aharav? What's going to be with my husband? How's he going to support me? How's he going to buy me shoes? How's he going to buy me dresses? How's he going to take me away? How's he going to, all the jewelry? What's going to be? Vatabet ishto me'aharav. She was looking after Lot's. But she didn't care too much about anything but spending. At that point, says the Kli Yakar, Borei Olam says, Mrs. Lot, had you been generous with your money when you lived in Sodom, you might have gotten saved. As the Hachamim tell us, Ustakat Tatsil Mimavet. But you were known to be a miserly woman. And now on the way out, if you would have said, Hatati Aviti Pashati, Be'ezat Hashem, if my husband makes more money, I'm going to give Sadaqah. Instead, you're still thinking about money for your selfish reasons. At that point, there was a Kitrug in Shamayim, there was a prosecution. At that point, said, she's still thinking about the money for herself. Now the money is going to be a liability against her. And what happens? The salt that she did not give to her guests, now at this point, the money would be a liability. She would turn into salt. That's why she was punished at that moment. When Borei Olam saw, still thinking about the money, what's going to be with the money? Aharav. How am I going to live? Based on this, I saw a beautiful explanation from those Naim LaTorah of Sarutskin. He says, what does it mean that she didn't give salt? He explains it. If you remember when the guests came over to Malachim, to Lot's house, what did he serve them? Matzot. The Pasuk says, U'matzah afalahim. He baked matzot. Now I learned from there that obviously she was not a hospitable woman, because normally the man does not do the baking. The fact that he had to bake the matzot shows that she wasn't interested in serving the guests. Compare that to when the guests came to Avraham's house, and who was making the matzot? Sarah, Lushi Vasi Ugot. Nonetheless, she said, listen, you want to give them matzot? You make it yourself. I don't give them nothing. I'm not even giving them flour and water. So he made the matzot beautiful. But he learned from Avraham Avinu that when you give somebody something to eat, you give them condiments with it. Where did he learn that from? That when he gave the tongue, he also supplied them with mustard. Why? Because when you give somebody a condiment, they eat more. Because it's tasty. Avraham says, I want to eat more. I don't want you to eat the minimum. I want you to eat more. I want you to have an appetite. Bon appetit. And therefore, Lot, who was a student of Avraham, he learned, if I'm going to give them dry matzah without salt, they're not going to eat enough. So where's the salt? She was in charge of the salt. She says, I'm not giving them salt. You learn from Avraham Avinu, let Avraham Avinu give the salt. Go get mustard from Avraham. We're not giving salt. I don't want them to eat more matzah. It's enough that you gave them one slice. Now they're going to eat us out of household. Not giving. So she was a kamsanit. So says the Kli Yakar, the Gemara says in Ketuvot, Melach Mamon Haser, that the way you salt your money, Melach Mamon, you want to salt your money, means preserve your money. Salt is a preservative. So the Gemara says, how do you preserve your money? Haser, get rid of it. Give some away. By giving some away, you preserve what you have left over. The Gemara gives a mashal. There was a fellow that went to buy a piece of meat from the butcher. A 10-pound piece of meat. And the butcher says, are you planning on eating it tonight? He said, no. Next week. He said, well, listen, there was no refrigeration in those days. So you're going to have to put salt on it in order to preserve it, otherwise it's going to spoil. The guy says, what am I, a fool? If I'm going to put salt on this 10-pound piece of meat, it's going to shrink to 9 pounds. I'm going to lose a pound. The butcher says, okay, but it's going to spoil. I'm not interested. He wasn't willing to give up the 1 pound, so he didn't put the salt. By the time he came around to eat it, what happened? He lost all 10. You have to be willing to give up one to save the 9. Melach mamon. The same thing with your money. When you salt your money, you have to be willing to be haser. Well, Mrs. Lot fulfilled 2 out of the 3. Melach and mamon. But she didn't do the haser. She didn't depart with it. And as a result, at the time that she started complaining about her money when she was leaving Sodom, and she started to complain about her husband's new financial situation, v'tabet ishto me'aharav, she looked after what's going to be with Lot. How's she going to live? Borei Olam says, you're still about money? You didn't learn your lesson? You didn't make the teshuvah? Now we're going to punish you. V'tehi netziv melah. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, that's the beautiful introduction. And now we get to the business of tonight's tirash. That was just to warm us up, to get us into the mood. There's one word in the parasha, in this parasha, that for sure will catch your attention. It's not an easy word to say. The word is in the beginning of Pasuk Tet Zayin. And the Pasuk reads, Vayitmahmaha. It's a hard word. Now, what does this word Vayitmahmaha mean? Well, on the way out, Lot was Vayitmahmaha. Say again? Yeah, he was delaying. He wasn't rushing out. He was lingering. Lingering? The Rabbi Sai, tap him over here so he doesn't... You have over here a city that's about to blow up. The angels are confirming it. What's to linger? What do you mean lingering? I mean, imagine you have over here that they tell you, listen, there's a bomb on the plane. Anybody going to linger at that point? What is Lot lingering? I remember when I studied in Lakewood Yeshiva. This was during the Persian Gulf War. And I used to study in the Ezrat Nashim. There was a Beit Midrash downstairs. And upstairs there was Ezrat Nashim. And there was hundreds of boys studying in that area as well. And I never forget, it was maybe Monday, Tuesday afternoon. We're learning strong about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden you hear in the Ezrat Nashim a hissing sound. Hiss. very loud. One of the Rabbanim that were in there got up and said, bomb! If you know how fast we cleared out that building, people ran out for their lives. Nobody saw anything. Nobody took anything with them. They ran. Only later to find out that it was a fluorescent bulb that was going out. And Baruch Hashem, it wasn't a bomb. But my point is, when you think you're in trouble, you're not lingering. But Lot, Beit Mahama. So that she tells us why. That she says, you know why? Kedei lehatzil mamono. He wanted to save his money. Listen, he didn't know the law of Irani Dahat. He didn't know you can't take the money. So on the way out, he's about to take the money. He said, you can't take that stuff. That gets burnt. What are you talking? Now he's debating. So Vayit Mahma is meandering. He's lingering around. He's trying to get the money. I want to ask you a question. How in the world? I mean, listen, everybody loves their money, but don't you love your life first? And the angel is saying, listen, it's ticking. 10, 9, 8. Lord, come out. 1 second. The plane is about to blow up. Is somebody to start grabbing their carry-on? Leave it, kapara. Get off the plane. I saw this question, Baruch Hashem, later on, brought in the Sefer, called Nahalat Yaakov. This is from the Gaon, Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, the Netivot HaMishpat. He wrote a Sefer on Chumash. And he writes on this Vayit Mahama, En ze mederech ha'adam. It's not the normal derech of Adam. Ha'chared, was afraid, lehatzil nafsho, that's trying to save his life, litmameya b'mkom sakana. He's trying to understand what in the world is Lot doing. Now, furthermore, if you notice the cantillation, the ta'am on that word, is a very rare note. A note that is so rare that you don't find it more than 4 times in the Torah. And that's the note that is called shalshelet. Now, I have no doubt, when you'll be in synagogue this Shabbat, it'll catch your attention. The note in the Chumash is like a zigzag line. And the way the Hazanim sing it is in a very, you know, noticeable way. It's different than all the sounding. I won't sing it for you, but everybody has their way of singing the shalshelet. And even if you're not paying attention, say, well, what was that? Well, that was the shalshelet. 1 of 4. And what is the reason why that word, Vayit Mahama, gets the shalshelet? Well, I saw brought down something amazing. I saw brought down the secret of the shalshelet. The 4 times that it's written are the following. The first time in the Torah is here, Vayit Mahama. We're going to read it next week when Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzhak and he's negotiating with Lavan and Bituel, and the pasuk will say, Vayomar, as he's talking, and there's a shalshelet on the Vayomar of Eliezer. You'll see it when Yosef HaSadiq was being solicited by Eshet Potiphar and he refused. It says, Vayma'in, shalshelet. And you'll see it when Aaron was nominated to be the Kohen Gadol. His first order of business was to bring a sacrifice to atone for the Chet Ha'egel. And the pasuk says, Vayishhat. Vayishhat, shalshelet. Now, you have to be Houdini to figure out a common denominator between the Vayomer of Eliezer, the Vayma'en of Yosef, the Vayishhat of Aaron, and the Vayit Mahama of Lot. But Nachamim found a connection. They found a connection. So let me tell you the sword of the shalshelet. A shalshelet, what does it mean? Shalshelet is like a string, like beads, like a connection, like a necklace. They call it a shalshelet. It's beads connected, one on top of the other, shalshelet. And it's used, it's used in context when we're discussing lineage. Like they say in Hebrew, shalshelet yuhasin. when we want to talk about a person's pedigree, when we want to talk about his family tree, Shalshelet Yo'asin, oh, his great grandfather was this one, it's beads, one after the other. So the time is used specifically when we're discussing lineage. And he gives an example. Eliezer is looking for a wife for Yitzhak. That's going to create the lineage of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Shalchelet, they were involved in creating the Shalchelet. They were involved in creating Klal Yisrael. Yosef HaSadiq, he knew that he couldn't go with Eshet Potiphar. Because he knows that from him is going to come Yoshua ben Nun, Mashiach ben Yosef. It'll ruin his lineage. So therefore, Vayma'en, what was his deterrent? The Shalchelet Yuhasin. Furthermore, Aharon was only Zochet to be Kohen Gadol and his children after him because he was atoned for Chet HaEgel. Vayishchat, once he slaughtered the Egel for the atonement, already his lineage of Kehuna was now established. So those three are easy. But the Vayitmahama of Lot, what is that? Where does that fit in to this line of descent that we're talking about? So let's go further. We'll get back to it immediately. If you look at the text, there's a word here that should catch your attention. The Pasuk says, right before that, the Pasuk says, Kum, get up. Kach et eshtecha, take your wife. Vetshte benotecha, and your two daughters. Hanimsa'ot, your two daughters that are nimsa'ot, that are present or that are found. What were they? Were lost? Shte banot, your two daughters. Shte benotecha. What does it mean? Hanimsa'ot. What is that word? Nimsa'ot, that are found. So the Midrash comes along and says a big chiddush over here, which is the key of the whole sugya. In this story, the daughters of Lot were carrying something in their belly that would be one of the most important commodities, if you're Jewish, of all time. What was in their belly? They had in them two holy souls, one of them called Ruta Moaviyah, the other one called Na'amah Amonit. Ruta Moaviyah being the grandmother of King David, which is the precursor to Mashiach ben David. And Na'amah Amonit would be the wife of King Solomon, also in the dynasty of Mashiach. Now, we'll see soon enough, but those souls at this point were in the daughters of Lot. And therefore the angels came along and said, yes, Shte Benotecha Hanimsa'ot, and what's inside of them. That's the key. The reason why these girls are being saved is because they got two treasures that are important for the Jewish people. It's the Nimsa'ot Shebahim. It's what's inside of them. Very good. As a matter of fact, if you look at Pasuk in Tehillim in chapter 89, very good. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Matzati David Abdi. I found my servant David. Very easy pasuk. I found him. I didn't know he was lost, but they found him. Baruch Hashem. Rabotai, good news. They found him. Matzati David Abdi. So the Midrash asks, Echan Mitzao, where did they find him? And the Midrash says, Bisdom. They found him in Sdom. That's where he was hiding out. The least expected place. You're playing hide and go seek. He found a good spot. He's hiding in Sedom. And the Baal Tosfot on the Pasuk Tetzayin says that on the way out, the angels had to grab Lot and his wife. They don't want to leave. They grab him out. Vayahaziku anashim biyado. They had to grab Lot. Ubiyad Ishto and his wife. Ubiyad Shteb and Otav, and they had to grab his daughters. The Tosfot says, if you look at the words, Ubiyad Ishto Ubiyad. The last letter of Ubiyad is a Dalid. Ishto is a Vav. Ubiyad is a Dalid. Sofet Tevot David. hinting to us that on the way out, they weren't only taking the obvious people that you saw, they were also taking the nimsa'ot, those that were not apparent. David was also being smuggled out of. Oh, if that's the case, I go back to the Nahalat Yaakov, and he says something amazing. Don't ask me how, but Lot was well aware what was happening and who they were smuggling out. Maybe it's simple. Maybe he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. Maybe he wasn't a prophet. Maybe he heard the angel say, listen, Nimsa'ot. Maybe he asked him, what is Nimsa'ot? He said, listen, your daughters have some special. Who knows what? But the Halat Yaakov says, Lot knew that he's being saved because from him is going to come Rut and Na'amah. So he's needed. So you know what he says? He leveraged it. He says, well, they need me, so I don't have to rush. I could linger around and take some of the money. I'm not worried. They're not going to blow the city up as long as I'm in the city. Because they need me to bring Ruth and Na'amah. So he leveraged that information. Says the Na'alat Yaakov, that's why it says Vayitmahamah. Vayitmahamah means he lingered, he delayed. And what's the ta'am on Vayitmahamah? Shalshelet. Because he saw the Shalshelet Yuhasin that's going to descend from him, that allowed him to be Vayitmahamah. And that's why he said, let me stick around. I see what's going to come from me. So therefore, listen, they need me. They need me. They can't get rid of me. They're not going to blow up the plane till I get off. Because if they blow up the plane with me on it, there goes Ruth and there goes Na'amah. So Vayitmahamah. Why Vayitmahamah? Like Rashi says, to take the money. But who's silly enough to linger around to take money before the city's going to blow up? Shalshelet. He saw the Shalshelet that's going to come from him. And therefore he said, I'm good. He continues to Na'alat Yaakov. Unbelievable explanation. He continues. He says a beautiful explanation. He said, guess who else made that calculation? Mrs. Lot. Mrs. Lot said, wait. She did simple mathematics, family mathematics. She said, wait. From Lot is going to come these two great souls. Now I'm his wife. Now I'm the only one here that this can come from. Now, she didn't think for a second what really happened. She's not thinking incest. I mean, she was a miserly woman and she was a cheapskate, but I don't think her brain went to incest. So she's thinking, I'm good also. So therefore, the Pasuk says regarding Mrs. Lot, and it answers the original question that we had, Vatabet ishto me'aharav. She looked what's going to come after Lot, me'aharav, she said, oh, you know what's going to come me'aharav? Ruth and Na'amah. Therefore, I'm good. Therefore, she told the Malachim, I'm not rushing out of here. I want to go get my pocketbook. I want to get some, I'm not rushing, but we're blowing up the city. What do you think? I don't see what you see. Vatabit ishto me'aharav. She saw me'aharav Lot. What's going to come out of Lot? So what happened to her? What happened though was she miscalculated. I'll tell you how she miscalculated. She miscalculated because she didn't realize that, oh yes, indeed, it's going to come from Lot, but not through you. And therefore she lingered around, and before you knew it, boom, she turned into the salt. That was her hashbon, which is a faulty hashbon. Now, there is a question, however, here that remains. Hold it. Why are you rushing Lot? If indeed Ruth is going to come out of him, and if indeed Na'amah is going to come out of him, the angels say, listen, you're right, take your time. Listen, you can't take any money with you. That's the law of Yiranidah. But you want to take one more, you know, one last walk around the park of Sedor, you want to take one last selfie in Sedor. We can't rush you. Listen, we need you. Why were the angels rushing? Wasn't he right in his calculation? Let him stay. Let the angels say, listen, you're right. Look, we need you. So, when you're ready, let us know. But eventually, you'd have to leave. So I saw brought down in a sefer that asked this question. It says something beautiful. Sefer is Panim Yafot. Panim Yafot says beautiful. Yafot says, it gives another story that we're familiar with. You remember the story of Korah? Don't ask me, how did we get to Korah? We're in Korah already. We went from Parashat Vayera, now we got to Korah. What happens in Korah? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Korah and gives him an ultimatum. He says, listen, it's either me or you. Tomorrow morning, or Aaron, tomorrow morning we're going to have a showdown. Bring your shovel, bring your ketoret, bring all your equipment. And we'll say, listen, the one that God chooses, the chooses, and the other one, death. Korah says, I'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early. Estachamim. What was Korah thinking? Why was Korah so sure that he was going to live? What does the Gemara say? He saw that Shemuel and Avi is going to come from him. So he knew that he needs to bring somebody into this world. So he says, listen, they can't knock me off. I'm the predecessor, I'm the precursor of Shemuel and Avi. Now, they're not getting rid of Shemuel and Avi, so they're not getting rid of me. So he leveraged that information that Shemuel's coming out of him to come to the meeting confidently. Says the Panim Yafot. What happened at the meeting? He burnt. They killed him. He got swallowed underground. But what happened to Shemuel? He miscalculated. Shemuel was already in Korah's children. Korah, we didn't need you to bring Shemuel. It's true, you're the great-great-grandfather, but we didn't need you already. Already the spark of Shemuel and Avi would come from your children. Ubnei Korah lo metu. Says the Panim Yafot, that was Lot's mistake. The angels told Lot, listen, Ruth is coming from you and Naamah is coming from you. But don't think we don't have other options. If you don't want to be the father of the Tzaddiket, somebody else will do it. And therefore, why? Because it's in your daughters. So we don't need you necessarily to bring it out. You want the zechut, Baruch Abba. But you're not going to hold us hostage now and delay this process because you think it can only be... But she's in America, they say like this, we'll either do it with you or without you. So therefore, the angels come along and say, Lord, don't be a wise guy. No more vayit bahameya. Don't think you're going to use the shalshelet to delay and use it as a tactic. Hanim sa'ot. They're already there. You want to be part of the process? Baruch haba. You don't want to be part of the process? See you later. Of course, Lot makes the right option and he goes out. Now what happens? Amazing story. They get to a cave. Now it's Lot and his two daughters. All right, they find a cave somewhere, and they hear the explosions go off behind them. That's it. They thought the whole world was destroyed. And now, this is only the workings of God, of course. They all come to the conclusion that they're the only three people left in the world. I mean, that's how loud the explosion was. They thought the world just was destroyed completely. So the daughters said to themselves, listen, you know, if we're not going to procreate from our father, there's not going to be any more world. Only problem is, they said, there's no way Lot in a sober mind is not going to do this. So it says they took out a few bottles of champagne and they got him drunk, as we learned. Only question is, when they were leaving Sodom, you think, wait, we've got to take some bottles of champagne with us, some Chablis, what do you think? Some bubbly with them on the way out? Wait, angels, excuse me, want to get, and you know, when you're there, get some scotch also for the, we want to have a long trip and get some ara, or get some ice also. What are we talking about? Where'd they get wine from? So the Midrash comes along and says that God dispatched an angel and said, listen, go prepare that cave, make it a nice cave, put it, make sure that there's a wet bar in that cave over there. So when they came in, they said, oh, look at this here, we got a whole fridge of refreshments for free on the house. It wasn't stout wine. He said this wine came from, you know, the stock of God, from Olam Haba. What does that show you, Rabotai? That who was orchestrating all these events? God. You ever hear the wine called the cave? That's it. That's where they got it from. I'm not a sommelier, but that's why they call it the cave. From that story over here, that they found the wine in the cave. But it was the real, you know, this is the real one. And sure enough, they get Lord drunk, and bingo. Before you know it, his two daughters are pregnant. Before you know it, Ammon and Moab are born. Now watch this. Once Ammon and Moab are born, that's it. The cat is out of the bag. Now all we need is Ammon and Moab nation to grow. And we're going to find the diamonds. The two diamonds will be separated from them. And they'll separate the Klal Yisrael. And there you go. It was done. Mission accomplished. And who's the Shadchan? Borei Olam is the Shadchan. He created all this episode to bring Mashiach. That explains to me why the Torah spent so much time telling me this story. I don't need to know the story of Ur Kasdim. That affects Avraham. But this story of Sedom, it's Mashiach. If there's any story that you must tell me, I need to know. I'm sitting reading this story at the edge of my seat. What's going to happen with the daughters? Are they going to leave? How are they going to get the wine? Is it going to happen? Is the ancestral relationship going to work? Is Lot going to do? Baruch Hashem. When I read this parasha, I'm comforted in saying Baruch Hashem. With the great orchestration of the Boreh, the Mashiach emerges. Now watch. There's a sefer that's called Ben Le'ashri. I don't know if you heard it. I came across this book from Rabbi Gladstein, may live and be well. He always quotes the Ben Le'ashri. And recently somebody actually bought me the book. What is it? There was a tzaddik. They called him the tzaddik from Ra'anana. And I think Rabbi Huberman, Alav HaShalom, was a big tzaddik mekubal. And he wrote this sefer called Ben Le'ashri. And he writes, I think, in the beginning of the sefer, that whoever reads my sefer and learns my Divrei Torah, I will be an advocate for him, and I'll give him berachot, and all the best things in the world. So Rabbi Gladstein every week gives a shiur in the book, and Ben Le'ashri, and the people are very attracted, because they want, first of all, the Hadushim are incredible, and second of all, it comes with a red ribbon, it comes with a silver lining, you get a beracha from the Rav. He passed away, Alav HaShalom. Well, he was in Anana.
Yeah, but he moved to
Mansa. Okay, now he's in Beit HaHayim. Now he's in Harim Menuchot. But the point is, this is what he said. If you look in last week's Perashah, Avraham and Lot are traveling together. And now what happens, a dispute breaks out between Avraham and Lot, or the shepherds. What does Avraham tell Lot? Al natihi miriva b'ni u'b'necha. Listen, Lot, we don't want to have any disputes between me and you. Ki anashim achim anachnu. After all, we're like brothers, we're relatives. I don't want this to turn into something that it isn't. Let's cut it over here. Now, most of our members over here know Hebrew well, pretty well. What does it mean, al natihi miriva? What is the word na? Don't tell me raw. Good, that's what I understood. Bevakasha, which means Avraham is pleading with Lot. Al natihi miriva. Please, Lot, don't let this escalate. Don't let this get out of hand. Please, let's cut it over here. We'll be friends. Aneshim ha'im anachnu. Says the tzaddik from Ra'anana that if you look at the Targum Unkelus on the Pasuk, Targum says, "Al natihi miriba, Uch'an. He explains the word na ke'an. Chaf ayinum, which means now. Avram is telling Lot, al na, achshav, please, now's not the time for us to fight. Not now. What does it mean, not now? Not now and not never. What does it mean, not now? What, Avram was planning a future fight? He said, listen, not now. Al na, tehi meriba. What's the pshat? What happens after Ammon and Moab are born? There is no nation that is more unaccepted to Klal Yisrael, that is more pushed away. There is no greater nation that we have a dispute with that's banned than Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are unaccepted eternally into our people. Even an Egyptian, if he converts after three generations, Baruch Abba. According to Maimonides, even if somebody from Amalek converts, Baruch Abba. Somebody from Ammon and Moab, they can convert, but we're not going to accept them ever mainstream. They can never mainstream. Lo yavo Ammoni u'Moavi bekal Hashem ad olam. It's the most disdained, the most distant, the most pushed away of all the nations. Avraham was saying, listen, it's going to come a time where we're going to have a big dispute with you. But now, before those neshamot come out, now we cannot have meribah. Now we got business to do. Now we need to fix this tikkun of Ruta Moabiyah, Na'amah Moabiyah. Trust me, later on there's going to be meribah now. We're going to put in our Torah that your children are not allowed to look at us. They cannot marry into our people. If they do, they're banned. Now, good news, not the ladies. That's how Ruth was able to mainstream. That's how Naamah was able to mainstream, not the ladies. But there's going to be a major dispute. Al nati miribani. What does he say? Ki anashim achim anachnu. The Gemara says that Lot looked like Avraham. It says, listen, now you look like me because you have Kiddushah in you. That's why you look like me. There's something in you that's valuable. Once you give birth, that look is going to go away. So at this point over here, you have something good in you. Therefore, let's not fight. You go your way. And it was all in Hashamayim. All this was the Hashkaha. And that's why Abraham's going out of his way to save Lot. He's got to save Lot. When you save Lot, you're saving Mashiach. What does he care about Lot? I got to save Lot because I just got to get him to that act. And once he brings Ammon and Moab in the world, you don't hear about Lot again. Lot just disappears from the text. You're done. Thank you, Lot. You made your tikkun. Have a good day. Next subject. Oh, once we get to this, Rabotai, once we get to this, we now understand a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a banquet. And there's going to be the most delicious foods that you ever tasted. If you're invited, I mean, it's going to be a banquet for the tzaddikim. They're going to have a special meat. Meat from the age. Today they have aged meat, wagyu. They're going to have better than the aged meat of today. From the time of Adam and Rishon that was cured and, you know, prepared. They're going to have special fish. They're going to have special wine. It's going to be unbelievable. And who's going to be in attendance? All the tzaddikim. At the end of the meal, they're going to make zimun. They're going to pour from this special wine, from the wine that was in the cave. They're going to bring the leftover from that bottle, the Mashiach wine. The wine that made the shiduch. And they're going to take the course. They're going to go to Avraham Avinu. Bechavod, Avraham. Bekat Amazon. Avraham's going to take the course and say, Rabotai, listen, I thank you very much that you're giving me the honor. However, it's well known that I brought Ishmael into the world. And all that trouble that I brought, all the Arab League, and what they did to us, I'm not worthy to make the beracha. Please give it to my son Yitzhak. Give it to somebody else. They go to Yitzhak, Bechavod, Zimun. Yitzhak says, listen, I brought Esav into the world. Germans, everybody else. Not for me. My son Yaakov, give it to him. Yaakov says, listen, it's true. I didn't bring Esav. I didn't bring Ishmael. I had 12. I went 12 for 12. All my children were tzaddikim. But I married two sisters. It's a shayla, you know. I know it was before the Torah was given, but you know, you have these wise guys, hey, marry two sisters. I don't want to get involved in the politics. You know, this and that. I don't want anybody to talk. There are always people that talk. Give it to somebody else. And they go down the line. Yeshua ben Nun, I don't have boys, I don't have children. Each one's giving it. That's the real Sadiq, by the way. Today they grab, I'm the one, give it to me. No, they don't have it, give it to the next guy. They're not looking for kavod. Today they have claims. Hey, how come you didn't give it to me? I'm a bigger Sadiq than you. What are you talking about? I'll make my own minyan. I'll make my own zimun. Finish. I brought my own wine. I need your wine. I brought my own wine. Finish. We make a minyan in the hallway. Anyway, they finally get to David HaMelech, and his response is shocking. David, they know already. David, no, not me. I can't. Everyone's giving excuses. David takes the wine and says, "Ani avarech, veli na'el avarech. I will make the zimun, and I am worthy." Wow. Okay. So they were happy. Finally, they can make zimun already. They want to have dessert? They're going to make zimun already. But what is David HaMelech? Ani avarech, veli na'el avarech. Says the Shlach Kadosh something beautiful. I'll teach you a halacha now. If you have guests on Shabbat, let's say, halacha says, balabayit motzeya. The balabayit makes the hamotzi. Why? So he could take a big piece and give it to the guest. If you can let the guest make the hamotzi, he's embarrassed to take a big piece. Maybe he's very hungry, but he'll take a big piece. I said, what are you, a glutton? So he'll take a little piece and he's embarrassed. So therefore, balabayit motzeya. So he can give ayin yafa. When it comes to Birkat HaMazon, it says, Oreyach Leverich. Why? In the olden days, when they would give the guest the Birkat HaMazon, he would say the Birkat HaMazon aloud, out loud. And he would bless the Baal HaBayit. HaRachman, Uyibarech, Baal HaBayit Hazeh, Baal HaSud Hazot, Hu Vishtu. So therefore, in order for him to give the Beracha, they let him make the Zimun. Kedesh Yibarech et Baal HaBayit Ba'ayin Yafa. So David HaMelech, when it came to the Zimun, he said, Rabotai, listen, I'm a man of halakha, like we started this class. Everything is halakha with the tzaddikim. What happened? He said, listen, all you tzaddikim, you're purebreds. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you were part of this nation. I'm the guest. I'm the outsider. I came from Moab. I'm the oreyah. I wasn't part of this group. I came from Lot's children. We weren't even part of the klal. I'm not from Abraham direct. I came from Lot's daughters, that was Amon and Moab, and we jump ship and we convert. I'm the Oreyach. Ani Avarech. Velina El Avarech, because Oreyach Vivarech. And when did all this happen? In this week's parasha. And therefore, the Torah says there's no more important parasha to spend a lot of detail, a lot of time to explain. And I say that every time Parashat Vayira comes around, in heaven, there's a lot of tumulting this Shabbat. When the Hazan's going to start reading the Shalshelet, and we start to read how Lot and his daughters get saved, and they go into the cave, and they have the children. In heaven, the Melitzi Yosher, the advocates, they go to God and say, God Almighty, look how much you did. You were behind the scenes. Look how much you pulled the strings to bring Mashiach into the world. Look how much hashkaha. You saved Lot. You saved his daughters. You did everything. You brought the wine even. And then the advocates tell God, if you worked 3,500 years ago, where is he already? If you have such an interest to orchestrate the doings and the comings of Mashiach, ad matai, until when are you going to hold them? Borei Olam, we know you have a desire to bring the Mashiach because you're and you wrote a whole parasha devoted to it. And therefore, God, finish the job. The job that you started in Parashat Vayira, we need the Mashiach. We need you to pull some more strings that only God can do, to make the maneuverings and the orchestrations, and finally reveal them, because that is your will. You showed us from the beginning of the Torah that all your intention is to bring the Mashiach. And there's nothing that can stop the will of God. So why the delay? And it's a tremendous moment. Therefore, when we read the Sefer Torah this week, and we read this Aliyah, if you're lucky to get this Aliyah of the story of Lot and his children, it turns out that this story is a tremendous story. And at that moment, you have to make a tefillah. At that moment, they're reading this Ali, you have to say to Borei Olam, he's here, you pray. Mashiach is born in Parashat Vayera. That's when the Nitzotz comes out. Hand him Sa'ot. And then we have to say to Borei Olam, Ani Ma'amin, Bechol Yom. But already, it's been too long. And then, Be'azat Hashem in the Zechut of Parashat Vayera, and its most important episode, the episode of Lot and his daughters, Be'azat Hashem, like we say, Umaher Lega'olenu, Geula Shelema, Lema'an Shemecha. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. 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 רבי חנניה בן הקשה אומר, עשה הקדוש ברוך הוא זכות ישראל, לפיכך קרבה להם תרצות של אימת, החפש המעשה בנתו אמן.